Hi, I'm David Fettis, and this talk is about thinking fast and slow. Let's start out with a little bit of fun. If you have a pen and paper handy, just get ready to write down some answers. First question, how many animals of each kind did Moses take on the ark? Second question, a ball and bat together cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? Got your answer? In a textile factory, 5 machines take exactly 5 minutes to make 5 shirts. How many minutes will it take for 100 machines to make 100 shirts? Write down your answer. And finally, a pond has water lilies. Each day, the flowers double the area they cover. If it takes 48 days for the pond to be completely covered, how many days would it take to be half covered? You have your answer to that one? Okay, let's look at the answers in reverse order of the questions. It would take 47 days for the pond to be half covered because if it doubles every day, then if it's half covered on day 47, it's completely covered on day 48. The easy answer, which most people answer, is 24, but the right answer is 47. In a textile factory, 5 machines take exactly 5 minutes to make 5 shirts, so how many minutes will it take for 100 machines to make 100 shirts? Well, the easy answer is 100. The right answer is 5, because each machine takes 5 minutes to make a shirt, so 100 machines will make 100 shirts in 5 minutes. A ball and bat together cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? Well, the easy answer is 10 cents. The right answer is 5 cents, because if you said 10 cents, then the bat costs $1 more than that, so the bat would cost $1.10, and the two together would cost $1.20. The right answer is 5 cents. But if you got it wrong, you're in pretty good company. 80% of college students said 10 cents. And more than 50% of students at elite universities like MIT, Harvard, and Princeton said 10 cents. So if you made a mistake, you're not the only one. The people who made those mistakes were plenty smart to get the right answer, but they didn't check their answer to make sure that it all added up and was correct. How many animals of each kind did Moses take on the ark? None. Noah, not Moses, was on the ark. Well, then let's ask the question a little differently. How many animals of each kind did Noah take on the ark? He took 7 pairs of each kind of clean animal and 1 pair of each kind of unclean animal. So if you said he took 1 pair or 2 of every kind, then you weren't quite right. But again, the instant answer is a pair of each animal, because that's what it looks like in the pictures of Noah's Ark that you've seen painted, or in the Bible stories that you've heard. It's always 2 by 2, except the Bible actually says in Genesis 7, verse 2, that 7 pairs of each kind of clean animal and 1 pair of each kind of unclean animal went onto the ark. Again, the obvious answer is the one based on what you saw in a picture somewhere or what you heard in a Sunday school story somewhere, but not the actual answer if you dig into the details of the Bible. Thinking fast gives you one answer. Thinking slow and digging in a little deeper gives you a rather different answer. Here's an easy logic question. All roses are flowers. Some flowers fade quickly. Therefore, some roses fade quickly. Is this argument logically valid? No, it's not valid. Perhaps no roses are among the flowers that fade quickly. We only know that some flowers fade quickly, but maybe all the ones that fade quickly don't happen to be roses. So we have to slow down and check the logic. Thinking fast and slow. That's the title of a book by Daniel Kahneman. Daniel Kahneman is one of the most influential cognitive psychologists in the world, and Kahneman won the Nobel Prize actually in economics for his work on decision-making, but he is a teacher, or at least is a teacher emeritus at Princeton University in psychology. One of the most popular books that he wrote is Thinking Fast and Slow, a very, very influential book. Think fast. You look at this face and instantly you know how she feels. You know she's happy. If she said something, you know that it would be something cheerful. Just know that instantly. What is 17 times 23? Unless you're really a math whiz, you don't know that answer instantly, do you? You've got to think about it. You may even have to work it out. And if you work it out and you say, well, 3 times 17 is 51, 2 times 17 is 34, put them in the right column, add 51 and 340, you get 391. You figured out the answer if you know how to do multiplication, but it didn't pop into your head the instant you saw it, the way looking at a smiling face told you how a person was feeling and predicted what she might say, or at least the cheerfulness of what she might say. Kahneman and other psychologists speak of two systems. They use it as kind of a figure of speech. They know that the human mind is not just automatically and totally divided into two systems, but it's useful to think about it this way. System one is fast, instant, involuntary, automatic, effortless. It just happens to you. You immediately jump to conclusions through system one. System two is slow, deliberate, attentive. You have to focus, effortful. You have to put some work into it. Here are some samples. System one, you can see one thing is closer than another. You have instant depth perception. When you see a face of a person you know, you instantly recognize that person. When you sense anger in someone's voice, you don't do computations about frequencies of the voice sound or something. You just know if they sound angry. 1 + 1 = 2. You just know that instantly. When you're driving a car down the road without traffic, sometimes you're hardly paying attention, but you're turning the wheel properly, you're responding, you're staying, you're following the lane when you need to, but you're doing it almost on autopilot. You understand a simple sentence the moment you hear it. These are all samples of system one, that automatic, instantaneous recognition or sense of knowing. System two is a little different. When you're looking for someone at an airport, you don't instantly recognize. You're looking at a lot of different faces. You're putting effort into figuring out where someone is, or if you're looking for a certain kind of person wearing a white hat, for instance, you're scanning and you're looking. You're taking a test and you're trying to recall information. Your mind is trying to retrieve something from memory or figure something out. You're in a social setting and you feel like yawning and say, oh, this is boring. Would you please be quiet? But you're a polite person and you control your manners in a social setting and you look and you smile and nod and try to act interested. You're making an effort. Your system two is making an effort to overcome what system one really feels like doing. When you're deciding on a plan of action, system two is slowly and deliberately looking through some options and some factors before reaching a conclusion. System two evaluates complex logical arguments. You don't instantly know based on intuition whether an argument is logically sound or not. You have to look at it and think it through, or when you're putting together an argument, it takes a lot of focus and effort. When you're pondering how the Bible applies to your situation now, you have to give some thought to it. What's the Bible saying? What's the situation? What are the links that might be in common between the Bible and the current situation, and how does it apply? It's not just an instant intuition, but much of the time it's something you have to think through very cautiously and carefully. So you have these two systems, says Kahneman, and system one has impressions, just immediate impressions, intuitions, intentions, feelings, desires. And those aren't things that you're controlling or that are developing slowly, but they instantly come to you. System two usually believes system one's impressions, and it usually acts on system one's desires. System two takes over if system one is surprised or if system one is stumped. But often your reactions are just instant based on intuition or your feeling or your impression in that moment. But then system two will kick in if something came along that you weren't expecting or if you have to figure out something that isn't instantly obvious. So system one is fast thinking. System two is thinking slowly. Which horizontal line is longer? You look at it and it's immediately obvious. The lower line segment is the longer one. When you measure them, however, you find that those two line segments are exactly the same length. This is called the Muller-Lyer illusion. And once you've seen it measured, then your system two knows the bottom line still looks longer to system one, but now that you've put in more effort and system two has done the actual measuring, you know that the lines are equal, but even knowing they're equal, that bottom line still looks longer. Now, system one, your automatic reaction of your mind, and system two, your attentive thinking, work well together much of the time. System one will save you a lot of time and energy. If you had to ponder every belief and every decision, it would be very slow and very exhausting to make your way through life, because you're making decisions, you're having impressions, you're doing stuff all the time, and it's great that you have system one to take care of a lot of stuff instantly and automatically. And then you have system two there to evaluate the input from system one as it's needed. But beware of biases. System one has some built-in biases, and it tends towards systemic, frequently repeated errors in certain kinds of situations. A lot of the time it works great, but there are certain kinds of situations where it makes the same kind of typical mistakes over and over again, and we're going to be looking at some of those in other talks. System two is sometimes blind to the biases of system one, and it accepts its errors rather than finding the errors and fixing the errors. So even though you have this system two, it doesn't always do its job. It's not always looking for the biases, and it's not always fixing the errors that have been made. Sometimes it's good to jump to conclusions. Jumping to conclusions is efficient, says Daniel Kahneman, if the conclusions are likely to be correct, and if the costs of an occasional mistake are acceptable, and if the jump saves much time and effort. So system one's fast thinking is often right, and it's efficient. Jumping to conclusions is risky when the situation is unfamiliar, the stakes are high, and there's no time to collect more information. In such situations, intuitive errors are more likely, and these errors may be prevented by the deliberate intervention of system one, of thinking more slowly and carefully and intentionally. So, do you use your intuition and just go with it? Or do you reason more carefully? Do you think fast or think more slowly? If a belief or a decision is minor, go with intuition. Don't think too hard. If a belief or a decision could have important long-term impact, put time and effort into hard thinking. And you need to train your thinking skills so that system two can work well when needed. That's one of the purposes of studying logic and critical thinking, is so that your system two becomes more alert and more skilled when it needs to correct the input of intuition and of the fast thinking of system one. Now, system two has a job, but it's kind of a smug slug. It feels pretty good about itself most of the time, and it's kind of lazy most of the time. System two feels in charge, but, says Kahneman, it's lazy and it prefers minimum effort. Some thoughts and actions that system two believes that it rationally chose through hard thinking were actually prompted by system one, and system two didn't even know it. And let's face it, quick, easy answers just plain feel right. And when something feels right, we don't look at it very carefully to find out whether it really is right. So very often, system two can be kind of a smug slug that just takes what's fed into it by intuition and feeling and intention without examining it. And I just want to say, don't be a slug. Think harder. When you think about logic and critical thinking, there may be times when you say, oh man, this is tiring. I don't feel like doing this anymore. Well, sorry, but please think harder. There may be times when you say, this is dumb. I already know how to think plenty well. Don't be so smug. Think humbler. Think harder, think humbler, and then you'll get a better balance of your fast thinking and your slow thinking and are better able to grasp the truth. I hope that as we continue to think about the way our mind works, to think not only about cognitive psychology, but then about how actual logic and critical thinking work, that you'll be able to think harder, to think humbler, to think better.